Amen. Praise you, Lord. Glory be to God for these days that you've gotten us into. And Father God, and that you're going to bring us out of. And we praise you for that, Lord. We're excited about what's fixing to happen, what you're fixing to do. And we thank you for it. We thank you, Father, for taking care of all the necessary things that to get this thing accomplished and to get us in our place. And we praise you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, for leading us and guiding us tonight to speak about the things that you would want us to speak about. And we praise you. We thank you for that, Lord. Glory be to God. Amen. Thank you for all the healings going to take place tonight, too. Deliverances and all of those things. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Has anybody got a prayer? Or a request of a prayer? Yeah. Julie, go ahead. I'll get right to you, Nick. Okay, Nick. I couldn't tell who was first, so I went girl first. Go ahead, Nick.
Yeah, I got a prayer request. This a good friend of ours. He just passed away with cancer. And he's just been in the hospital fighting it and everything, and he just finally just passed away. So.
Okay. What do you want us to pray for his family?
Yeah. He's a Christian too, so.
Okay, well, Lord, we just thank you that everybody that was praying for this man, that they would come into you in a mighty way, Lord, and that you would give them rest and joy and peace in their heart, that this man is up there with you, and that there would be no grief. It's just be a celebration, and we praise you for it, Father, mm-hmm. in Jesus' name. Amen. Were they all of them believers in his family?
I believe so. I just know him and his wife were, but I don't know about anybody else.
Okay.
They went to the Methodist church that we play pickleball at.
Oh, okay. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Father, we just ask and we pray that this would be an opening for the Holy Spirit to come into their lives and to fill them up and to bring them into the truth of the real gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for that. We know that the Methodists at one time were holiness people, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they were operating in the gifts of the Spirit. And Father, I ask and I pray that revival time is here, coming up, and that they would all come in a mighty way. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God.
Amen.
Yeah, even the Baptists, I found out even the Baptists were filled with the Holy Spirit at one time in their church history. I didn't know that. Okay, Julie, go ahead.
I want y'all just to pray in agreement with me for my neighbor Fred. In ignorance, I think it's ignorance because this is part of, he's just caught in the system of man and medicine and doctors and all that kind of stuff. But he had an appointment last Friday, and he forgot his doctor's appointment. He forgot to ask his, that doctor at that time if he should get a flu shot. And I thought, thank God he forgot to ask. Well, he had a doctor's appointment with another doctor for something else today, and this is his primary care physician. And he ended up getting not only the flu shot, but he got a shot for pneumonia. He got pneumonia shot and flu shot today. So we all just pray in agreement with me. Heavenly Father, I lift up Fred to you. He has no clue. He really doesn't know. And I just break off the curses of pharmakia off of him. And
amen.
The curse is spoken against him that somebody else in ignorance said, because he probably heard it from somebody, said, well, if you don't, you're going to get a headache and you're going to get a fever. And if you don't get those, then it's not working. And so, Lord, I break those curses off of Fred, that he's not going to have to suffer these effects of these shots, these vaccines that he took today. In your mercy, Lord, I pray. I lift him up to you, the throne of grace. He just does not know what he's doing, and he already has a deficient autoimmune disease, and he doesn't have a strong immune system to fight off stuff. And so I ask God for your mercy. I pray a hedge of protection around my covering the blood of Jesus Christ, and put him in your hand of grace, Lord. I don't know what all this is about, but thank you, Lord, that I've done what I know to do in faith, Lord, to pray against this stuff, Lord, that he not be get sick and get very sick,
Amen. Thank
and
you,
that's
Lord.
not going to be the cause of these things. In Jesus' name, I just speak to those injections that he got, and I command them to be null and void, and of
Amen. Thank you,
any
Jesus.
garbage they stuck in him today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We
Thanks for all
believe it,
agreeing.
Lord, and we
Praise the
thank you
Lord.
for it. Amen. Thank you, Father, for setting Freddie Boy free. In Jesus' name. All right, Missy.
We were gone over the weekends, and I texted my neighbor yesterday, Mila, and asked her how Pedo's doing because he's been in the hospital, if he's home yet. And she said, no, he's actually going to rehab. He couldn't even stand on his own, he was so weak. So he's in rehab. And she told me that it was touch and go for him. With him for a while, and I had that sense, and just had been praying for him. So praise the Lord that he's better and he's in rehab now. And she told me that she's been having an issue, and I think today she said she was going to get a cortisone epidural shot in her back, and so apparently she's having some issues there. So, Father, I just praise you and I thank you for your mercy and your grace upon them and your healing upon them and bringing them into your kingdom in a mighty, mighty way. I just keep confessing that, Lord, and I'm believing for them, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that Pedro's not going to be in there any longer than he has to be. I thank you, Lord, for strengthening his body quickly, that he can come home and protecting him from all pharmakia and so on and so forth. Witchcraft and thank you, Lord, that he's not on any medicines that we just refuse any side effects on any medicines he's on. Thank you, Lord, that he is healed. He does not have cancer. He doesn't have fear of cancer either, in Jesus' name. And as far as this that's going on with Mila's back, I thank you, Lord, for healing Mila. I told her my experience and that I had a series of three, and she says, did it help? I said, well, the first two didn't. I said, actually, third one, I don't believe it was. It helped. I think it was the Lord. And I told her the story behind that. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord. You're going to do something miraculous for Mila too concerning this, and that her back is all better, whatever all is going on with her. And I just praise you and I thank you, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you've given me opportunities to speak faith and let them know I've been praying. And there was something that she said, I can't remember what it was, but the other day, just that I know that she's hearing, she appreciates the prayers and stuff and all, and she's listening when I speak and all, and I just praise you and I thank you, Lord, for giving them both gift of faith, believing you, believing all your promises, coming into the wisdom and understanding, giving them a spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of you, Lord, and thank you, Lord, for a mighty work in them. In Jesus' name,
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
amen. Oh, and
Amen, Missy.
I also want to mention praise before. Yes, yesterday morning when I got on the morning prayer meeting. I wasn't feeling too good. I was feeling all real stuffy in my nose, and my throat was hurting a little bit, and it had everybody agree with me, and yay, praise the Lord. I don't have nothing, no symptoms. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hey, Andrew and Ben, how y'all is? How you doing? Everything all right? That's cool. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Barbara? Jennifer? I see Jennifer made it too. Praise God. Hey. All right.
Hello.
Who's
Hi, everyone.
that? Hey, Barbara.
A delay there, huh?
Little bit. That's okay.
Sorry.
Caught you across the room, didn't I? All right. Anybody else? All right. I got a song for us I want to play tonight.
By your bed, you fold your hands and bow your head, throwing out another prayer in faith. When you're wondering if he's hearing you, look at me, I'm living proof. I'm only right where I am today because somebody prayed. Your bed, you fold your hands and bow your head, throwing out another prayer in faith. When you're wondering if he's hearing you, look at me, I'm living proof. I'm only right where I am today because somebody prayed. So I hit my knees cause I've seen all. Looks like somebody prayed. For the child of God is far from home, the one who thinks they're too far gone. I'm throwing out another prayer in faith. Worn out altars, tear-stained pews, still I won't give up on you. I believe that anything can change when somebody prays. Somebody prayed. I've seen miracles come from feeble words. I've seen hospital rooms turned into cathedrals. I've seen freedom come to the prisoner. You can't tell me that prayer don't work. So by your bed and you fold your hands and bow your head. Not a single word you've ever said in vain, 'cause he hears everything. So I hit my knees 'cause I've seen all heaven move. I pray, Father, please, 'cause I've seen what he can do. These hands have no power, but they ain't an hour he don't come through. That's why when mountains move, I say, looks like somebody prayed.
Yeah, Missy.
I was just talking about my neighbors. I don't know. Sometime since Petter's been in the hospital, one morning I got up and I was put my songs on shuffle, and this was the first song that played, and I knew the Lord wanted it was just put in my heart to send it to Mila. And then the next song that played was Matthew West, "Don't Stop Praying." So I sent her that one. I said, "The Lord loves you guys. Don't, you know, these are for you." And so that just blessed me, you know. And anyway, and then I just thought of another testimony, prayer support thing or whatever. The other night when I was at Curt and Brooks, and we were putting a Maverick and Blake to bed, and Maverick, he was bouncing off the walls, and and I leaned down to give him a kiss, and he jumps up, and his head goes right into my nose, smack, and I was like, oh, I was like, oh, did it hurt? And once I gathered my composure, I said, "Thank you, Lord, the pain is gone." And as soon as I said that, I just felt it, you know, going. And it's funny, and the night before, Maverick woke up and he had a bloody nose, and I'm like, the thought came to me, and I'm like, no, I'm not gonna have a bloody nose. And oh my goodness. And I thought for sure the way it, you know, in the natural, that you know it would have been black and blue. I thought maybe it was going to end up being black and blue, but it's not. It didn't get black and blue. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm like, no. It's just, you know how the enemy comes in and tries to get you to receive the bad report. But anyway, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. I hold my composure and praise you and thank you. Thank you, Lord. Pain's gone.
He didn't hurt his head, did he, Missy?
Oh, I don't think so. He wasn't even fazed. You know,
That's
my
right.
son Kurt told me that he's done that at least a couple times to him. You know, he's like that got, I don't know if directly in his neck to his nose or what, but boy, did that smart.
Okay. Anybody else? Where's Pat? Oh, he's working the evening shift. Okay. All right, has anybody got anything they'd like to share? Or a question? Or an answer? I got a little something I could share with you if you'd like. Why most Christians never access the power they already have. Six people walked into a bedroom, where an Episcopalian vicar or vicar, how do you pronounce that? V-I-C-A-R. Is it vicar or vicar? A vicar.
I believe it's vicar.
Vicar?
Mm-hmm.
Vicar?
Vicar.
Anyway, lay completely helpless. He could not even lift a spoon to feed himself. They had come to pray for his healing, and they anointed him with oil, just as James 14 instructs. They prayed their best prayers, but when they finished, nothing had changed. The man wept bitterly as he lay there, still broken, still hopeless. Those six believers walked out of that room with their heads down, discouraged and confused. They had done everything they knew to do. They had followed the biblical pattern, but the man remained in his bed unchanged. One of them stopped outside the door, and he turned to others and he said something that would change everything. There's one thing we might have done. I wish you'd all go back with me and let's try it. What happened next in that room demonstrates a power that most Christians never tap into. A reality that can transform every impossible situation you are facing right now. Let me tell you what happened when they went back into that room. Now, this is from Smith Wigglesworth. They walked back in and gathered around the bed in a circle. This brother looked at the others and he said, "Let us whisper the name of Jesus." At first, nothing happened. They whispered, "Jesus." Then again, "Jesus." The room was quiet except for their whispers. The sick man still lay there motionless. But they kept going, "Jesus, Jesus." Then something began to shift. The power started to fall. They could feel it. The atmosphere in that room began to change. And as they sensed God beginning to work, their faith rose up. Their joy increased. They started whispering the name louder, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." And as they did, that man who had been completely helpless rose up from his bed. He got up, dressed himself. The secret was this. Those six people had taken their eyes off the sick man. They were no longer focused on the problem. They had become completely taken up with the Lord Jesus himself. And their faith had grasped the power that exists in his name. I said, let me tell you something. If people would only appreciate the power that exists in that name, there's no telling what would happen in our churches and in our homes and in our lives. Acts 36 declares, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Glory to God. Peter and John understood something that most believers today have forgotten. They had no money. They had no influence. They had no formal education. But they had something infinitely more valuable. They had the name of Jesus. Through that name, all things are possible. Philippians 29:10 tells us that God has highly exalted Jesus and given him the name which is above every name, and that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, every knee, not just one, every knee should bow. That means every sickness, every demon, every impossible circumstance, every mountain you are facing right now, there is power to overcome everything in the world through the name of Jesus. And I'm here to tell you that there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. But let me share something that will revolutionize your understanding of this power. 2 years before I went up on that Welsh mountain to pray. Two young men from Wales had visited our house. They were ordinary lads, but they had become zealous for God. Before they left, they said something unusual to me. We would not be surprised if the Lord brings you down to Wales, to raise our Lazarus. He's talking to Smith Wigglesworth. They explained that the leader of their assembly was a man who had worked in a tin mine during the day and preached at night. And he had given everything for the gospel. But the result was that he had collapsed. He had developed consumption. Consumption is TB back then. For 4 years, he had been a helpless invalid, having to be fed with a spoon. And when I was up on that mountain praying in Wales, the Lord spoke to me clearly. He said, I want you to go and raise Lazarus. Woo! Glory to God. I wrote a postcard immediately to the man whose name those two young lads had given me. I wrote when I was up on the mountain praying today, God told me that I was to go and raise Lazarus. And when I arrived at that village and met the man to whom I had written, he looked at me with cold eyes. He threw the postcard back at me and said, do you think we believe in this? He called his servant, take this man and show him Lazarus. Then he said to me, the moment you see him, you will be ready to go home. Nothing will hold you. And everything he said was true from the natural viewpoint. Because when I walked into that room, I saw a man who was nothing but a mass of bones with skin stretched over him. That's a funky looking sight, wouldn't it be? There was no life to be seen anywhere. Everything about him spoke of decay and death. But here's where it gets interesting. I said to him, will you shout? You remember that at Jericho, Joshua 6:20 tells us the people shouted while the walls were still standing. God has the same kind of victory for you if you will only believe. But I couldn't get him to believe. There was not an atom of faith there. He had made up his mind not to have anything to do with healing. When I got back to the man who had thrown the postcard at me, he asked mockingly, are you ready to go now? Listen carefully, he said. I'm not moved by what I see. I am moved only by what I believe. No man looks at appearances if he truly believes. No man considers how he feels if he believes. The man who believes God has it. And that night I told him I would not eat anything. I was going to fast and pray. But when I got to bed, something happened that I'll never forget. And it seemed as if the devil tried to place on me everything that he had placed on that poor man in the bed. In other words, consumption, TB. When I woke up, I had a cough. I had all the weaknesses of a tubercular in my own body. I rolled out of bed onto the floor and cried out to God to deliver me from the power of the devil. I shouted loud enough to wake everybody in the house up, but nobody was disturbed. God gave me complete victory, and I got back into bed as free as I had ever been in my life. Praise be to God forevermore. At 5 in the morning, the Lord woke me up and he said to me clearly, don't break bread until you break it round my table. At 6 o'clock, hooded, he gave me these words from John 60, verse 40. And I will raise him up. I put my elbow into the brother who was sleeping next to me, and he grunted, I jabbed him again. Do you hear? The Lord says that he will raise him up. Praise God. And when we went to the house where Lazarus lived, there were eight of us all together. And I'll never forget how the power of God fell on us as we went into that sick man's room. It was glorious. We circled around the bed. I had one brother hold one of the sick man's hands while I held the other. We each held the hand of the person next to us, forming a complete circle. I said, we're not going to pray. We're just going to use the name of Jesus. Oh, glory to God. We all knelt down and whispered that one word, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And the power of God fell. Then it lifted. We kept whispering the name. The power fell again. Then it lifted. Five times, the power of God fell and lifted. But the man in the bed was completely unmoved. 2 years before this, someone had tried to raise him up and had failed, and the devil had used that failure to discourage this man completely. I said to him, I don't care what the devil said. If God says he will raise you up, it's got to be so. Forget everything else except what God says about Jesus. And the sixth time we whispered, Jesus, the power fell, and this time something different happened. The sick man's lips began to move. Woo! Tears began to fall down his face. And I said to him, the power of God is here. It's yours to accept. And he said through his tears, I have been bitter in my heart, and I know I have grieved the Spirit of God. Here I am helpless, and I cannot lift my hands. I cannot even lift a spoon to my mouth. And he repented right there and cried out, oh God, let this be to your glory. And the moment he said those words, the virtue of the Lord went right through him like electricity. And as we said again, Jesus, 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 the bed began to shake. Whoa, glory to God. The man began to shake. And I said to everyone with me, you can all go downstairs right away. This is all God. I'm not going to help him at all. How you going to help God? He said, I sat there and watched that man get up out of that bed. And I watched him dress himself. We sang the doxology as he walked down those steps on his own 2 feet. After 4 years of being bedridden, it was soon known all over the region that Lazarus had been raised up. People came from everywhere to see him and to hear his testimony. God brought salvation to many through this one miracle. And this man stood right out in the open air and told everyone what God had done. And as a result, many people were convicted of their sin and converted to Christ. Signs and wonders, right? And Acts 3:16 explains it perfectly. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Think about Peter and John for a moment. They were helpless men. They were illiterate. They had no college education, but they had been with Jesus. They had received a wonderful revelation of the power that exists in the name of Jesus. They had handed out the bread and fish, and after Jesus multiplied them, they had sat at the table with him. John had gazed into his face. Peter had often been rebuked by Jesus. But through it all, Jesus manifested his love to Peter. Brothers and sisters, he is a wonderful lover, and I have been rewarded. I have been stubborn. I had an unmanageable temper at one time, but he has been so patient with me, and I'm here to tell you that there is power in Jesus and in his wondrous name to transform anyone, to heal anyone. Praise be to God. That's a powerful testimony of the name of Jesus. Now, I've got another one here if you want to hear it, but anybody got any comments on the first guy that was healed? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Glory, hallelujah, and the power fell. Praise be to God. I saw that happen to a young child, Memphis, Tennessee, one time. Power fell on that kid that had feet that were like this, toes touching toes, walking like club feet. Power fell on that kid and them things crackled and popped and came right straight out like that, boy. We told him, get out there and walk, boy. He went out there and walked. He started running. When he come back, his brain was telling him, well, your feet are messed up. You got to get your feet right back. The devil was telling him that. And his mama went out there and jerked him up. And she told him, as long as you'll, well, I'm not going to tell it all. Told him, says, boy, don't you never do that. Now another time. You keep those feet straight, and that boy was completely healed. She had told us that they were going to have to break his ankles, both ankles, and reset it, move it a little bit, reset it, break it again after it healed, move it, reset it, break it again until it healed, and reset it. And it was going to cost an untold amount of money, and she couldn't do it. But God did it in just a few minutes. Praise God. Woo! Glory to God. I'll tell you what, we're going to see things like this. How many of you got faith? You better confess it. Yeah, I got faith, brother. Amen. We got faith. We all do. We all have faith. And I'm going to tell you something. You're going to see a lot more than that coming up here. Lazarus, you think Lazarus was raised from the dead? Woo, you're going to see all kinds of people raised from the dead here shortly. Has anybody got any comments on what Smith Wigglesworth just experienced? He was a man that saw a lot of great miracles. A lot of great miracles. Yeah, Missy.
There's power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. Break every chain.
Amen.
Break every chain.
Amen. Here's a short one. Wigglesworth said, let me tell you about another time I was preaching about the name of Jesus in an open air meeting. Woo! Out there on the streets. He said there was a man leaning against a lamppost listening. Beneath his coat, he had a silver handled dagger. Everybody know what a dagger is? That's a knife. Big knife. He told me he was on his way to kill his unfaithful wife. But when he heard me speaking about the power of the name of Jesus, he couldn't get away. He felt completely helpless. And I told him, I said, get down on your knees right here and there on that public square with piece of people passing up and down. That man got saved right then. Wigglesworth told him, get down on your knees and repent. And he did. He said, I took him to my home and I put new clothes on him. He said to me, the next morning, God has revealed Jesus to me. I see that everything has been laid upon Jesus. That's what the man told Smith Wigglesworth. That man invited his faithless wife back to the home he prepared for her. She came and were where enmity and hatred had been before. The whole situation was transformed by love. God made that man a minister wherever he went. In Stockholm, there was a meeting with 3,000 people present. that a man from a home for incurable was brought to the meeting. He had palsy. His whole body was shaking. How many of you know what palsy is? That's when they see these guys or women shaking uncontrollably. A man from home for incurables was brought to the meeting. He had palsy and his whole body was shaking uncontrollably. He stood up before all those people and came to the platform supported by two other men and using crutches. And the power of God fell on him as I anointed him in the name of Jesus. And the moment I touched him, he dropped his crutch. He began to walk in the name of Jesus. He walked down the steps and around that entire great building while everybody watched. All across Scandinavia, I watched as God moved in power through his name in meeting after meeting after meeting. Blind received their sight, the lame walked, those with consumption were made whole, and sinners were saved. And in one home for incurables, were saved in one home for incurables, I'm sorry. In just 1 hour, the Lord set about 20 people completely free. The testimonies were amazing. One would say, I was deaf. They prayed, and Jesus healed me. Another, I had consumption. I'm free. Now listen to me carefully, because I'm about to challenge you with something that most Christians will never do. Most believers have heard about the power of Jesus, Jesus' name, their whole lives. They have sung about it. They have read about it in their Bibles, but they have never actually used it. Here's what I have discovered, he said. The majority of Christians are more impressed with their problems than they are with the power in Jesus' name. And that is so true. They look at their sickness and they say, this is impossible. They look at their financial situation and they say, there ain't no way out. Then they look at their broken relationships and they say, this cannot be fixed. But the real issue is not the size of your problem. The real issue is whether you will actually believe in and use that authority you have been given in the name of Jesus. Philippians 20 and 10 does not say that every knee should bow at some knees. Doesn't say that. It says every knee. That means the knee of cancer must bow. The knee of depression must bow. The knee of poverty must bow. The knee of addiction must bow. Everything must bow at the name of Jesus. And here's the truth that most Christians will not face. You have to actually use the name. You have to speak it over your situation. You have to stop just talking about your problem and start declaring the power of Jesus' name over it. Most Christians have replaced faith with worry. They have replaced declaration with complaint. They have replaced the power of Jesus' name with the opinions of doctors, the predictions of experts, and the limitations of human wisdom. I'm issuing you a bold challenge today. For the next 30 days, I want you to do what those six people did in that vicar, that priest. How's that? Yeah, that Episcopalian priest. I want you to do what those six people did in that vicar's room. I want you to take your eyes off your impossible situation and fix them on Jesus, completely on Jesus. I want you to stop talking about how bad things are and start whispering, speaking, and declaring the name of Jesus over every area of your life. When that fear comes, don't analyze it, don't discuss it, just say, Jesus! And when that pain hits your body, don't focus on it, just say, Jesus! And when that bill comes and you don't know how you're going to pay it, instead of panicking, declare, Jesus, you are my provider. Now, this is not some formula. This is not some magic word. This is about taking your eyes off the natural circumstances and putting your complete trust in the supernatural power that exists in the name above every name. Woo! Glory to God, Jesus! And most Christians will hear this message and go right back to worrying about their problems. They'll go right back to being controlled by their circumstances. And they'll go right back to living powerless Christian lives. But some of you are going to be different. Some of you are going to take this challenge seriously. And you're going to start using the name of Jesus with authority and faith. And when you do, whoo, you're going to see things change that you thought would never change. And you need to understand something about your position in Christ. John 14, verses 13 and 14 records Jesus saying this: whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Did you hear that? Whatever you ask in his name, he will do it. This is not my promises. This is Jesus' own words. But you have to actually ask. You have to actually use the authority he's given you. And when you were born again, you were not just forgiven of your sins. You were given access to everything that's in Jesus' name. You were given the legal right to use that name. But legal rights are worthless if you never exercise them. And if you see a man who is sick and you believe Jesus can heal him, then step out in faith. Lay hands on him in the name of Jesus. If you're facing an impossible situation in your own life, stop begging God to do something. Start declaring what his word already promised in Jesus' name. And the problem's not that God is unwilling. The problem is not that the power does not exist. The problem is that his people do not use what has already been given to them. The power in the name of Jesus is real, it's available, and it's waiting to be used. He said, every miracle I have shared with you today happened because someone believed in that name and used it with faith and authority. That Episcopalian, I'm going to call him a priest, was raised from his bed because six people whispered the name of Jesus. That man in Wales who had been bedridden for 4 years walked again because we used the name of Jesus. That man with the dagger who was going to murder his wife was saved and transformed through the power in that name. That man with palsy in Stockholm was healed instantly when I anointed him in Jesus' name. And this same power is available to you today. The same Jesus who did all of these miracles is alive right now, and his name has not lost any of its power. Heaven and earth may pass away, but as Jesus declared in Matthew 28 and 18, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And he has given you the right to use his name. And he's given you access to that authority. The question is, will we use it? Stop living like a powerless Christian and stop acting like you are at the mercy of every circumstance that comes your way. You have been given the name that is above every name. Use it. Declare it. Put your faith in it. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I come before you right now with every person that's listening to this message, and I declare that your name is above every name that can be named. I declare that at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow. Lord, we have heard the testimonies today of your power and your willingness to move on behalf of those who believe. And we ask you to stir up faith in every heart right now. Forgive us for the times we have looked at our circumstances instead of looking at your power. And right now, I speak to every sickness, every bondage, every impossible situation represented in this message, and I command it to bow in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That goes for everybody here. Release your power, release your healing, release your deliverance, and let every person who hears this word go forth with boldness to use that authority you have given us in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. He says, I believe with all my heart that as you have learned about the power in Jesus' name today, you have been activated . Okay, thank you, Jennifer. I believe with all my heart that as you have learned about the power in Jesus' name today, you have been activated into a new dimension of spiritual authority. The understanding you have gained is already creating a shift in how you will approach every challenge, every impossibility, and every mountain in your life. And here's your daily practice. Listen to this. Here's your daily practice. Every morning, when you wake up, before you do anything else, spend 5 minutes just declaring the name of Jesus over your day, over your family, over your health, over your finances, over your future. Don't ask for anything. Just declare his name with faith. Watch what begins to shift in your life when you make this daily practice. But speaking the name of Jesus is just the beginning of walking in spiritual authority. What if there is a question Jesus is asking you right now that could change everything? What happens when someone has been sick for 38 years and suddenly encounters the power of Christ? Glory be to God. Why do some people stay bound in their conditions even when healing is right in front of them? And what's the one thing stopping most Christians from receiving the wholeness God has already provided? Doubt and unbelief are religious garbage. Amen. Well, I'm heartened. Thank you, Jesus. I speak Jesus over everybody's life here. I speak Jesus over everybody's finances. I speak Jesus over all everybody here that needs a healing. I speak Jesus into everyone's life here and to everything that they're praying for God for. And Lord, we thank you that from this point on, everybody's going to be thanking you for the things that you have already given them in Jesus' name. Thought I heard David. Here am I, Lord. Amen. Y'all didn't get that. Y'all get it. All right. Every morning when you wake up, before you do anything else, spend 5 minutes just declaring the name of Jesus over your day, over your family, over your health, over your finances, over your future. And don't ask for anything. Just declare his name with faith. Woo, glory to God. All right. Has anybody got anything they want to comment on about what Wigglesworth came up with? I'll tell you something. I'm going to start doing that because there's things that I'm dealing with. Anybody else dealing with anything, or I'm the only one? I've got more than one thing. Amen. No more. No more, Joe. No more. I ain't got it no more. Cause of Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Praise be to God. Yeah, Andrew, go ahead, brother.
How does the grace of God work with this name? Just a question. I just want to know if you have a statement there. How does the grace of God work with his name?
Oh.
How does the grace of God work with this name?
Work with this name?
Yeah, the grace of God.
Good question. Very good question. I know you know the answer, so we'll just go ahead, Julie. I can't hear you.
Because I wasn't unmuted yet. Okay, so... This verse came to me as soon as you said that, Andrew. John 1:17. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So it's Jesus is the word of God, and Father sent him here to bestow grace upon us, and that, you know, it's not the law anymore. I don't know. He is grace. He is all grace. We don't deserve anything. We don't deserve salvation. We don't deserve that he took our place on that cross where we should have been paying the penalty. It's all grace.
So
because of
John
Jesus.
1:17?
John chapter 1, verse 17.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. 14. Well, let's see. Can I read 14 too?
Sure.
Yeah, you can read them all. What did
14.
You say?
And
which verse?
John chapter 1, 14 and 17. I just put in the phrase grace and truth because that's what was coming to my mind. So verse 14, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And 17, for law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Judy. Go ahead, Joe.
The verse that came to me is Mark 9, verse 39. But Jesus said, forbid him not, for there is no man but shall do a mighty work in my name and be able to speak evil of me.
You say Mark 9:39?
Yes.
Okay. Praise God. And what does it say? I'm sorry. I'm sitting here chewing on something.
Mark, but Jesus said, forbid him not. For there is no man who shall do a mighty work in my name and be able quickly to speak evil of me.
Amen. Praise God. Anyone else? So it all comes through Jesus. Yeah. Oh, my. Well, I hope you were encouraged by that. I know I was. I had read it some time ago, and I said, well, shoot, I'm going to get that out and read it again. And I got all fired up, and I said, shoot, man, I'm going to go out and find somebody that needs some help. All right, anybody else got something they want to talk about?
What did Andrew say about it, Michael? Let me see.
I'm sorry, Joe. What did he say, Julie?
He said, I'll give you my verse then. That,
okay, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I... That's what I'm asking.
2 Timothy. I sure hope it's 2 Timothy because then I wrote it wrong on my Amazing Grace song that I try to sing. Anyway, 2 Timothy 2:1. Thou therefore, my child, be, and you know, he's calling Timothy a full grown man, a child. That's kind of weird, eh? Thou therefore, my child, be strengthened in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You know, what's
Amen.
Good enough for Timothy is good enough for us.
Amen.
Amen. Be strengthened. And you know, strength is a light. That's in that tabernacle, the candlestick, has seven lights on it, and one of them is the strength of the Lord. I believe that just because of what it says in Isaiah 11, 1 and 2. There's all seven lights there. And even the fear of the Lord is a light. And someone told me once that the fear of the Lord is very close to love. Because with the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and that's good judgment. You know, it's pretty good judgment to believe the Lord is true and every man is the liar. But there is a man that is in the Lord. One body, one spirit. So praise and glory to God.
Yeah, amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Judith's got a song she wants to share about Jesus. Let me give her the rights to do that. You now have been anointed. Go ahead. Amen. Can you get full screen?
It's all because of Jesus. covers me and raises this dead man alive. It's all because of Jesus. It's all because of Jesus I'm alive. It's all because of the blood of Jesus Christ. It covers me and raises this dead man.
I thought he was echoing way out there, wasn't it? All right, anyone else? Got something they'd like to share? Jesus. Yeah, Benjamin.
Okay, so all the Bible scholars have said their thing, so I'd like to share my humble opinion on what my dad left to share now.
He just looked it up on his phone now. Come on.
Okay.
2 Corinthians 12:9. And he hath said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my power is made perfect in weakness.
Power.
There we go. The most important thing here. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me.
Amen.
So, what does that mean? If I arm wrestle my son now, does that mean I'm going to win?
Oh, well, you better start screaming the name of Jesus if he's a big boy.
I don't know. He looks as big as Peter when he pulled those fishes out of the water in the net. You know, I don't think he should trust in his strength too much. He's been working out in the gym.
Oh, really?
Really? Well, he's still this young guy, you know. And
he's getting toned up, is he?
Yeah, he's getting toned up. I can understand it because I've been out of the gym for so many years. I'm probably just as many years as he is alive now that I've been out of the gym. So, yikes, you know, I think I let my body go a little bit, but it's not mine anymore.
There you go. There you go. It's Lord, it's your day. You can make me look good or not, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's winter time here. I can't be out on my bike anymore, you know, so my touring bike.
Amen. I always call it my winter coat.
Yeah. Like, I got one, too. Yeah, I got
one. I got a nice one.
Very
yeah. Amen. Then comes springtime, I have to try to shed it.
Even though it's 2 degrees above zero, above freezing now here. And that's like a record for January.
That's it's pretty warm.
Is that warm?
Yeah, well, it's
that's like, what, 34, 35?
Well, what's freezing? Fahrenheit 32. It's two degrees above that. So I don't know, every degree in Celsius might be 2 degrees in Fahrenheit.
I think that's 34, 35 degrees Fahrenheit.
Yeah. It was 28 here today. I think it got up to 30. No, it's 48 right now. It got up into the 50s.
48, yeah, that would be March weather here.
Yeah, I knew there was a reason why I stayed out here below the base of Dixon line.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. So do we.
You know, that
that state you're in, Tennessee, when you look at the map with all the borders of the states, that's the one that looks like a big Noah's Ark. Because it's big. And it even pushes up on one edge there, too.
Yeah, it's narrow and long.
Yeah.
It's about 400 miles from here to the Arkansas border.
Wow.
Where we are.
That's pretty long.
We're not even all the way to the east side of it. Plumb to the east side. It got another.
Does the Mississippi River go through your?
The Mississippi goes over down by Memphis, which is on the west side.
Okay. Yeah.
It's between Arkansas and Memphis, and Mississippi. Tennessee, Mississippi, and Alabama are over on the east side of the Mississippi. Missouri, Arkansas, and Louisiana are on the west side of it.
Okay.
And so. the Mississippi River, when I was over back in March, was almost dried up, and they can't understand what's going wrong with it. It's losing water. There's a big shaking coming on.
That's one of the biggest rivers in the world.
That's a big one.
Massive water.
Yeah.
Like we have a small Ottawa River here. It's an old river from the north, but it's wouldn't compare.
They can't ship up and down the Mississippi now. And that's a major trade route between north and south.
They used to go all the way up to the Missouri River through the Mississippi.
Goes all the way up to the Great Lakes.
Yeah.
It's a long river. It cuts the United States in half.
So they don't have those big paddle wheel boats anymore?
Like just
in the time of Tom Sawyer? Oh, am I allowed to say Tom Sawyer?
There are some because of nostalgia sake and that kind of thing, but as far as using them, no, they use diesel now going up down the river or gasoline. Yeah, it goes from New Orleans all the way up to Great Lakes. Down into the Gulf. They ship a lot of fuel and farm goods up and down the river there. Well, they ship everything up and down that river. Used to. When I went over here back in March. I was home for Thanksgiving back in November last year. It was almost dried up then. And then when I went back in March, it was really bad. I've never seen it that low. I saw something on a dam out there, Julie, in California, that they were getting too much water in. Oh, what was it? I started with an O, I think. Damn, started with an O.
Probably up in Northern California because they've had all the rain, the floods, you know, they've been flooding, you know, to the fires, and they just start, you know, their weather warfare, and now they're flooding those areas, and they're getting dumped on with snow. And we've had a warming trend now, so all that snow is going to be melting. So that makes sense. They want to, you know, they're all about destruction, you know. I can't remember the name of that dam. It was in trouble a few years ago, if you remember. Yeah. They were going to, about ready to, you know, it was about ready to break.
It raised up 23 feet in just a few hours.
Mm.
That dam did. That lake.
Recently, you mean? That's the latest?
Yeah,
Recently is
a
what you're
couple of
saying?
weeks
Okay, I
ago.
believe it. I believe this
Yeah.
because all the snow and all the rain and the stuff that they're doing, to cause destruction. I don't know what, can't remember what. Is it Oroville or something? Not Oroville, or
Yeah, that's it.
is it Oroville? Okay,
Yeah,
yeah. So the
that's the
people
one.
down below there, they're in danger, right? Of
Yeah,
because
they
every
have to open
downstream of
up
a
those
dam.
lakes. They have to open those
Yeah, I
gates
know.
up in order to relieve the pressure off that dam.
Well, thank you, Lord, for doing the right thing, having people do the right thing there, and angels make sure that it's done. We send the angels out there to release the pressure on that dam and start loosening the water out and protect the people downstream, Lord. And
Amen.
there's not going to be the destruction the deep state plans. In Jesus' name, we command failure to all of that. Thank you, Lord. Hey,
Amen.
Michael, is the Mississippi where it's dried up and stuff, did you guys ever figure out, did they determine it was sinkholes and stuff there that are where the water's just, isn't going through there anymore because of open crevices or sinkholes?
I think what they have determined is that it opened up to an underground aquifer and had emptied out into it, and it's just a big large aquifer under there, I guess. I don't know. If you know anything about what happened when they were drilling for oil and gas across Arkansas, they were going right across the plate. And they were drilling on the plate all the way across Arkansas until they stopped them, made them quit, couldn't come back. Yeah, Andrew. And I believe what happened is they had an opening that all that water went down into one of those large aquifers under there. Yeah, Andrew.
Couldn't some of these really smart geologists maybe stop them because they were worried, maybe, that what they did there may
It's
cause something to happen?
all about that.
Yeah,
It
but you know
is.
that, you just rivers don't usually just disappear. The water has to go somewhere.
Well, especially Mississippi.
Yeah, that's about four times the output of the Ottawa River. The St. Lawrence is still going, and that's a seaway that they do. I don't think they do much shipping in it anymore now, too, because I think you need a different size ship, for that. So they probably unload it where it's still very deep and transfer it to smaller ships to go through there for the States and for Canada, I guess.
I
It's a shared
remember
seaway.
a dream that Sandy had that said in the middle of the United States there would be water coming up out of the ground and flooding from out of the ground. You remember that, Missy? All up and down the Mississippi River, on both sides of the Mississippi River, Midwest up, what they call the Midwest up through there. Water was coming up out of the ground and flooding everything.
Well, the water's
Yeah.
going somewhere.
It's got to go somewhere. That's right. It's got to go somewhere. It'll go in the hole just for so long a period of time till it
Long
fills
time
up.
ago, there used to be these subterranean caverns that collapsed, and the waters from the deep went up, and there used to be a water shield around us, and it cracked open too, and the waters came down, and that's what happens when you start killing each other. Right?
I
Maybe one of those
guess.
patterns are filling up again, and something's going to
Could
happen
be.
now.
Could be. Well, you heard the prophecy of Alison Pound. They talked about earthquakes all over. Earthquakes in Japan first. What
Water's
was
pretty
the
heavy too. Like
Big
if you're
Pound?
displacing water in a place where it was not before, then where does all that weight go? It's pretty
And
heavy.
water does not compress either.
No.
Yeah, water weighs 11 pounds per gallon. Milk Way, somewhere close to that, I guess. I don't know. Oh, my. Anyway.
It's heavier, Michael, because it's fatty.
Okay. Okay.
That's how they make the 1% milk.
I could tell you, when I was a kid, we drank milk straight out the cow, and it was real creamy. And when mother went to the guy that left the milk on the porch out in the country, she went to that. We told mama, this milk tastes like water, talking about homogenized, pasteurized milk. It tastes like water, mama. We don't like this stuff. But we had to drink it because mama wanted us to drink it. But yeah, I can remember it tasted just like water after drinking that cream. Good old days. Goat's milk. Goat's milk is pretty good. I like goat's milk. You ever had any goat's milk, Andrew? Goat's milk's good. It's good for you, too, little boys and girls. We had goats. We had cows. What else? We had chickens.
So you never turn your back on the goat, by the way.
You better not, unless you got him tied up. good old days, yeah. Daddy was raised up, Julie, in the Depression. And somebody said, you remember the good old days? He said, let me tell you something about the good old days. That wasn't a good old day. He said, right now is a good old day. Oh, my. Yeah, life on a farm was pretty neat. All right, anybody else? Let's talk about Jesus. What's the greatest miracle you've seen in person? Yeah, Joe.
That will be me safe.
Amen. Amen. That's the greatest one I saw was when I got saved at 50 years old. Hey, Nick. Yeah, Debbie.
Well, I'll share the miracle I shared with the book study last week. This was years ago, many years ago. I don't remember if Dan and I were married then or just, I don't think we were married there or not. But anyway, my sister was real sick. She'd been sick all her life. Problems, still is. And she had blood clots in her lungs. And she was down. And it was pretty serious. And she couldn't be up and about moving. Those blood clots would, you know, travel. And so my husband, Denny and I don't know if we're married or not, Denny and I and my sister Joy went to her house to, we wanted to pray for her. And so we got in the bedroom and around her bed and we were on our knees and just, we started worshiping, doing a lot of worship songs. Just as we would each, whatever came to us, we'd start worshiping the Lord. And we really began to feel the presence of the Lord in the room. And we started praying and even praying in tongues and just got a real high presence, feeling like God's presence there. And we had prayed for her too. We prayed during times of worship that we were praying for her, laying our hands on her. And in this moment of the, when we're feeling the presence of the Lord so strongly, she got up. She got up. She said, I'm healed. And she got up and she made us awesome coffee. And she went to the doctor and they couldn't even find any, what's it called? There's no blood clots, but they couldn't find any scar tissue. There was no scar tissue from anything. So she was completely healed of those blood clots. So that's a miracle. Eye. Greatest miracle. Amen. Personally. Yeah.
Amen. Crazy. That's a good one. Is that it? Okay, good. Mm-hmm. All right. That's a good one. Yeah, Andrew.
When she said that she got up and made them all some coffee, I thought about Peter's mother-in-law. She got up and she was healed and serviced them probably with, I guess, sandwiches, whatever.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? Yeah, Julie.
Well, nothing like what Debbie shared or anything like that, but just something, a few times where God used me to lay hands on somebody. And one time I was just over the phone, but one guy that, you know, he was my driver and he was taking me to catch the trolley to go to work. And he had been in an accident and he broke his nose. He hit his head, his face on the steering wheel and broke his nose. And he was in so much pain and stuff. He had some other injuries, but weren't that bad. But right. And he was in so much pain in his face. And I had prayed for him before and God had healed him of neck pain and shoulder pain and that kind of thing. So I asked him if I could pray for him. And he said, yeah. And I was sitting in the back seat. So I just put my hand up on the back of his head. And I just prayed in the name of Jesus. I command all pain to go and for quick healing and blah, blah, blah. He wasn't head and driven a foot. And he said, I'm healed. The pain is gone. He's like, oh God, thank you, Jesus. It's gone. It's gone.
Praise God.
You know, just that fast. Praise it was God. Immediate, you know, that the pain and broken nose and all that stuff, you know, so praise the Lord. And then there was another guy, he was taking me to work and it was his right cheek, and I was sitting in the passenger seat, and he had pain in his tooth. I don't know if it was an abscess tooth, but he was gonna have to go to the doctor, and it was swollen. I could see his face was swollen, and I said, "Can I pray for you?" And he said, "Yeah," and I said, "Well, put your hand up on your face," and I put my hand over his hand, and I just prayed for him, and I just prayed for healing, and I commanded the infection to go, and I commanded healing to go, I commanded the swelling to go down. And when I saw him later that afternoon, the swelling was all gone. He didn't have any pain anymore. He didn't have to go to the dentist.
Thank you, Lord.
And that same man, there was another time I was on my way home and I wanted him to meet me at the trolley so he could take me home because I wanted to go to the store. And he's like, I can't. I'm sick and I don't feel well at all. I'm just going to take a rest and stay in bed. And I was like, okay, well, so can I pray for you? He said, yes. So I prayed for him over the phone. I just command the sickness to leave, whatever, you know, the infirmity to go and the symptoms to go. And he amen, you know, and like 15 minutes later, he called me back. He goes, I'm coming to get you. I feel fine. I'm coming to get you.
Praise God. God is so good.
Yeah. So there's been times where, you know, God just wants our faith, you know.
Amen.
But I'm looking forward to the great things he's going to do, you know, in the days ahead of, you know, just had these little experiences here and there where God uses us to pray, or, you know, that we get a healing ourselves or something, and he can do anything, you know. We just have to be, you know, just willing to be used, you know, and praise the Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Andrew. Yeah, Jennifer. Let me get Jennifer, Andrew. She raised her hand. Okay, you're not in a hurry. Okay, we'll come back to you then. Go ahead, Andrew.
He can go first. That's all fine. Right. I don't know. I guess I'll raise. Okay, yeah, let him go first.
You got it.
Well, I seem to remember a day that we were on one of these fellowship meetings, and we decided to pray for families and people in our family. And I held up my son and daughter, and the next day Ben shows up with a Bible that's in its plastic wrap, and he had a wonderful dream, and that very night, I think. I don't know if it was on a Saturday, because we used to do that on Saturdays too, get together, or if it was on a Thursday, I can't remember. But he came over on that weekend, and with his Bible wrapped up, and I'm looking at it. It's in his arms there, and he's coming down the hallway from to the front door, and I was going, "What's going on here?" You know, I thought that in my head, and then he came in, and then he started telling me his testimony about his dream and what happened to him, and it was an answer to prayer, and then I got a little bit nervous. Oh no, I'm not going to mess this up, my Lord. So I used some items from his dream to get him started on the light that he saw. And it was so from John chapter 1. You know, in him was life, and this life is the light of men. You know, so you got the light and you got the life there at the same time, Ben. And
praise God.
He did that, and he started going and continued from there, and he got water baptized, and then he got the spirit tongues baptized, and it's so much easier when the Lord takes care of it all.
Amen.
Yeah, it's so great that that when grace works that way through us, it's so wonderful that the Lord does it all. Praise God.
Amen. Well, wait a minute. Let Ben tell his dream.
Okay. So the dream, it starts out, I'm ascending a staircase, and I end up in a kitchen with my sister. She's stirring a pot of soup, and we look into the soup, and it's the alphabet soup. I don't know if you all know what that is, or if you have that down. Yeah. And then we look out into like some porch that we had. It was kind of like an open door porch, and so we see a strange light through clouds, and we walk out into the porch. And then we see through this light that there's something coming down. And then there's a crowd of people under this light cheering and saying, "Yeah, yeah, yeah, here he comes, here he comes." And then the clouds open, and then we see, I want to say, a silhouette or a figurine of light. You can't really see the guy's face. You know it's a guy. You just see his body, and he's just enveloped in light. You don't necessarily see his face or any features or anything. It's just a feature of light. And then, but I knew that he was looking at me and my sister. And so me and my sister got scared. And so we ran. And so we run, run, run. And this guy's flying towards us. I know he's going to catch us. And so I kind of dive to the side. And then he Supermans into my sister. And he crashes her into like a market stall. I have no idea what that means. So then I'm like, Megan's gone. I got to keep running. And then I keep running, and I'm running on all fours like I'm an animal. And then I end up in a TV store that's full of like old TVs, and all the screens are static. And then I end up running into like the corner of a store, and I'm stuck in the corner. I have nowhere to go. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to face this guy. And he's just standing there waiting for me to turn around and look at him. He's like, "I'm already here." And then I feel weightlessness. I feel like I'm lifting up into the air. And then he draws an arrow with a bow, and he draws the arrow, and he shoots the arrow into my heart. And then that's when I woke up.
What did the arrow look like?
It was just a big arrow flight.
Well, praise God, you made it through it.
Yeah, I made it through.
Praise the Lord.
And that made him go to the store and get a Bible.
Yeah.
That's the part I saw. American International Version.
NIV.
NIV, yeah. And just to share our miracles that we've had, I've yet to pray for anybody. I don't know. I haven't been bold enough yet. But for myself, I had physical like infections on my fingers and cuts at work, and I never washed them properly. And then
sheet metal, you know, like
even my coworker at work saw it, and he was like, "Damn, you gotta wash your hands, boy." and I was like, "Yeah, I do." And then I just put my hands on it, and I said, "Be healed in the name of Jesus." And the next day, not only was all the infection and mold and whatever, all that gunk was off, but the scar healed, and there was no more scar. And then even my coworker said, "Hey, you washed your hands." And then I was like, "No, I prayed. I just prayed." And he said, "Shut up."
Okay. That's all right. Praise God, you got healed. Okay, Missy, keep the language down.
Well, there's a lot of different ones I could share, but I consider this a miracle. What? And like, I don't remember how many years ago this happened originally, but
hello.
We have our driveway here at this one corner, our gutter spout and everything drips there. And in the winter, you can get ice there. And Merle slipped and fell and hit his head, and he had gotten a concussion. And and then he did the exact same thing like 3 years later. And it was like I was sitting here, and I heard it was like supernatural. I think it was that I heard him fall. You know, I knew he was outside, and he was, and both times was when I think he was going and getting the recycling bin for garbage. I think he might have fallen three times and did this anyway, but the second time he did it, anyway, I said to him, I said, let me pray for you. So I prayed for him, and he was believing with me that the first time he wasn't in really so much. And he went to bed that night. He felt fine. But when he did that the first time, he had a concussion because he was up in the middle of the night throwing up and everything and so on and so forth. But this time he was fine. He might have had a little bit of a nod on his head, but he got up the next morning. He was fine. He went to work and came home, and I said, "So how are you feeling? How did work go?" He had the biggest smile on his face. He was so happy that he was fine, you know. And to me, that was a miracle. And I think he would consider that a miracle too, because after he went through like, gosh, it was like maybe 6 months, a certain way he would roll over in bed or whatever. The room would just spin on him when he, you know, it was horrible. But so he was just so ecstatic that, you know, he was fine. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Go ahead, Jennifer.
All right. Well, I actually have a video of this happening on my phone. I don't know if you guys can you guys, if I hold that up, can you see that? Not really. I don't know if you guys can see that or not, but I actually
Kind
videotaped
of.
you.
Yeah,
You
we
are,
can kind of see it.
can you kind of see it? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, what happened? This kind of happened at a point in my life where, I think that the Lord did this to show my son just the miraculous power of God. At the time he was, we were kind of just as a family, we were going through some hardships in our family. And so he was really into saltwater fish tanks at the time. And so we went to this convention down in Orlando for a saltwater fish tank, and there was this raffle, and God told me I was going to win this fish tank for my son. I mean, and there was like no doubt in my mind. It was like a supernatural faith. And so I bought the raffle tickets, and I, there were like 100 different things you could put the raffle tickets in, the different buckets of what you wanted to win. And as far as the bucket for the this big fish tank, that, this was like the grand prize. Everything else was real small. So we put our tickets in, and I said, you know what? I don't need to put them all in the fish tank. I only need to put one, really. If I'm going to win this fish tank, I only need one ticket, because they gave you like 20 for $20. So I felt like the Lord said, hold on to three tickets. So I held on to three tickets. I didn't put any tickets in the bucket of that to win the fish tank. And then we were walking around, and right about lunchtime, the Lord said, now go put the tickets in. And at first I started walking quickly towards where where you put the tickets in, because I thought, oh, God said do it now. And then I thought, no, whenever I get there, I get there. I'm not gonna have to, run around people and run over there to get it done. God's timing is perfect. So I got there, I put three tickets in, and I just knew that I was going to win this fish tank. So anyways, at like 5 o'clock, when the whole convention was over, we went and they were doing the drawings. And obviously, I mean, of course I did win it, but the cool thing about this video is I'm videotaping it, and I'm pointing, the Lord said, this is the ticket that's going to win. And I thought there's a little in the back of my head, I was like, well, while I'm videotaping it, I'm gonna ruin the video if I point to the wrong ticket. But I was like, no, this is the ticket that's gonna win. And I show the ticket and I point to it, and then they call out the number. So if I can just point the video, and I had given God, I mean, I was like, yeah, God told me that I'm gonna win this fish tank. And you can see the lady in the video turn around and look at me, because I had been claiming this and telling people. And then I act a little strange at the end. I scream, and I was happy, and you can hear my son saying, no way, no way. He couldn't believe it. So I don't know if you can see. How well you can see. Oh, wait a minute. There it is. All right. So, oops. All right. Ah, pause it. Hold on. Let me get the. All right.
Jesus for that. Thanks.
I just thought that that was a cool miracle, because it was the exact ticket the Lord told me. Anyways, and God was glorified through that as well. So there, anyways, that's the only miracle I have on video.
Amen. Praise God. Hey, listen, I'd like to go buy a lottery ticket. You got time to go with me?
You got time to go to Las Vegas for a day? It's just a day.
I said if I could control that, I would. But it wasn't. It was just something like God told me I was going to win that. It was, and that, like I said, I have not had a lot of experiences. There were a couple other times that I prayed for things, and I was like, God, just boom, yes, that's going to happen. But it's almost like I've listened to enough David Eales, you know, recordings and teachings where, you know, he talks about the prayer of impunity. Am I saying that right? Where you just pray for something. Did I say that right?
Opportunity.
It's not opportunity. There's another word. Impunity, I think is the word.
Oh, impunity, yeah.
Yeah, where you pray for it over and over again. And it's different than, bam, this is going to happen. And, you know, you just walk away and never think about it again, just knowing that it's going to happen. Like,
unfortunately.
So anyways, I don't know. I can't control that. Maybe somebody else can. Don't know.
Yeah, that word is
Sorry, Debbie.
Sorry, too. Importunity.
We both had it. Yeah, we both had it. I am. I am importunity.
You are. Awesome. I am what? What a look. All right, anybody else get a miracle?
Hear my miracle that someone's like Jennifer's? Do you remember two years ago, Michael, when I won that $500, the same type of thing like she did, had all these things to put your tickets in, and I need, and then the big thing was the cash draw, the cash win. The highest was $1,000, and it was 500 and 300 and on down. And anyway, so I needed to, I believed I was going to win that. I wanted to just believe that because I needed some money to get some of my glasses. And so I went, me and Angelica went down there and hung around, and we had to do, the time came for the drawing. And I went and sat down, and we sat down in the chairs right by where they're going to make the drawing. She left. And so they're doing the 1,000, and then they're coming down to the 500 one. And I'm just waiting. And I said, is it time for the $500 draw now? And I just said, I said, he's going to call my name. And they called my name. And I just jumped up. I'm so happy. I won that $500. So yeah, same type of thing. Where you just kind of knew, expected it from God. So that's awesome.
Amen. Praise God. I like the time that the Lord put $500 in my billfold.
That's even better.
Well, I didn't have to, but you know.
Yeah, if you didn't expect it. Yeah, it's awesome.
Well, I told him, I said, look, I need some money, please. Something like that, and Lord, I thank you that it's going to be in my billfold when I need it. Next day, it was there, and he put $100 in my billfold many times. He put $8,000 in under David's bed one time, under his mattress. $8,000. Who would have had the hand up? I saw somebody had his hand up. I didn't have my hand up. Ben, okay, Ben, go ahead.
All right, so this was a real long time ago. This was even before I must have been, how old?
Four.
Four. This was back when we were living in Plantagenet, and my dad told us that we could pray for things when we were out there. And we wanted a cat. Well, Megan wanted a cat. And then she convinced me to pray for a cat with her. And so we prayed. And correct me if I'm wrong, we got a cat on the porch the next day or the day after.
Yeah.
His name was Rexy. We have him in the cooking pot there.
Yeah, that's me, because I was a young dad and I'm trying to say we're going to have catnip for supper or something.
And yeah, and we had a cat. My dad has a better story about it, I think. I don't remember, really. But yeah, we got a cat. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's also cool. What do you want?
Yeah.
And of course, when we told them at the church, you know, all the kids wanted to pray for a cat.
Amen. Amen. All right, Julie.
This is just a little testimony about, you know, like winning things, right? Kind of thing. This thought came back, this memory came back to me as Debbie was sharing hers. And so I don't win stuff. You know, I used to play the lottery and stuff, and I would never win anything. It's like, I'm just throwing my money away. God showed me later that it was gambling. You know, it was gambling, and it was, you know, misusing his money and that kind of stuff. But anyhow, I was at this women's, I don't know, it was a group meeting thing. We did this Bible study together. I don't know how many were in it, but I did it. And it was as an individual Bible study, you know, just you did it on your own. But then we would share our answers through the week, through email, through, you know, what was the thing that meant the most to you, the blah, blah, blah about this, you know, about this week and what you learned and what you studied and that. So anyhow, when the study was over, the whole group of the women met together for like it wasn't really a brunch, but it was like a coffee thing and pastries or whatever people brought. You made something and you brought with you to share with everybody. And the author of the book was there to sign, you know, to sign, and she was going to speak. So she's there and we're all at different tables. And I think somebody put our names at table, so I didn't even have a choice where I sat. Well, anyhow, they were having giveaways on some of her other Bible study books and different things that she had for her ministry. But so anyhow, I never win anything, right? But we had to fill out a card. It was a question and answer thing, you know, based on, you know, stuff, whatever, about you and your history or whatever. Well, one of the questions was, how many buttons are on your clothing today? So that particular day, I had the lace button down blouse, and I had, it was buttons on, decorative buttons on the pockets, and all the buttons down the front. And then my pants had two buttons at the snap, a button on each pocket on the back, and I think there were buttons on the hem. There are capris and they have buttons. So it wasn't, you know, it was kind of buttons. And I can't remember how many I have, but I wrote it down. And I was the one at my table who won because I had the most buttons. I was wearing the most buttons that day. So I won one of her books, and God really blessed me with that book study too. So I know he wanted me to have. And anyhow, that was just one of those things. I never win anything, you know, but I had all the buttons that day. Praise God.
Amen. Lady with the most buttons. Amen. Button up, buttercup. All right. Anybody else?
I can share a couple more miracles I did want to share, but I didn't want to sound like anything, you know, because I know it's, of course, God. But it's encouraging, very encouraging. I can't wait for God to do this kind of work for us when, you know, these miracles are going to experience much more than that. So our daughter, our baby daughter, Beulah, was only like, I don't know what her age was. It was like 14 months or something like that, or 15 months. I woke up to her shaking. I heard this real shaking in the crib. It was late at night. You know, early morning, whatever. And I heard her bed shaking, her crib shaking. So I get up and she's in there just, you know, like seizing. Just, I didn't realize at that point, but it was a seizure. I thought, oh, she's shivering so bad. And so I picked her up though and realized she was hot. And I woke up Denny and we put her in a tepid water in the tub, and for a little bit, that didn't really help much. So then she started shivering even more. So I thought she's cold. So I didn't know much back then about things. I thought she was, well, now she's cold. And I think because she's shivering differently. And because we had her in like a tepid water in relation to that fever, I thought made her cold. So I wrapped her in a wool cloth that I had and put her in between me and Denny in our bed. And we're laying there. I wasn't asleep, but I was just laying there. It was for, I don't know how long it was. But then all of a sudden, I didn't feel anything or hear anything from her. It was just God that just, I just sat up with a start and I yelled at Denny, turn the light, because light was on his side of the bed. And he did. And I turned over to, she's in the middle, turned over to Beulah and raised her up. And as I raised her up, my right hand was on her back and my left hand was on her chest. As I raised her up, I felt her heart under my left hand just beat so hard 3 times. And then I heard her breath come out of her. I just heard that. And I looked at her and I told Denny, get up. I think she's dead. Oh, no, she's not dead. But Denny, she is. She's not breathing. I heard her breath come out and she was getting more blue and stuff. You know, so we're running through the house now. And he's calling the elders on the phone and getting prayer. And I'm just on my knees in the dining room, holding her in my lap and looking at her getting more and more blue. And I know she was not alive. And people tried to tell me that was seizure too. But I'm like, how can it be seizure? Not breathing. Your heart's not beating. You're not alive. But anyway, so she was so blue. And I would just cry out to God for her. And Denny's praying with the elders on the phone. And I'm crying out to God. And I remembered a woman at our fellowship was from Sri Lanka. And she had died I forget what the main disease, what the actual name of this is, but she had lockjaw. And she died, and her dad, they're just wonderful Christians there in Sri Lanka, and they're persecuted a lot and everything. But he held her for hours. It was hours, most of the day, believing she was going to come to life. And she did. She came back to life. So she was raised from the dead. And I was telling the God, you did it for Naomi. And raising, her name was Naomi. Do it for me, for Beulah, you know. And a few more minutes later, I got up and I was standing by the phone to show Denny's, keep praying, you know, and see she's still not come to life yet, you know. And then I just cried out to the Lord again. And then I looked down at her and I just watched her skin color just change. Her skin color, just, I watched it, just the blue going away. And Pinky was coming, and she opened her eyes, and that was the most exciting time. Oh my goodness! I said, "Denny, she's okay. She's alive. She's alive. She's alive." And so he calls the ambulance. He calls them, and they come anyway. And I told them what would happen. They didn't say much because they weren't there to see it. They didn't say much. Maybe they didn't believe me or something, but I don't know. But they took her away and got to the hospital. And they come into the doctor. We'd never seen a little baby chatter so much after such a thing she went through. She was chattering with a little toy they gave her, a stuffed animal. And she was just talking to them too, and her baby talking and everything, you know, it was amazing. And got to the hospital and found out that she had 106 temperature. And we saw the doctor. He went to the same room where she was laying, and he was sitting at the desk and just his arms folded, just looking there. He just couldn't believe it. He said, she should be delirious. She should be delirious, you know, because 106 temperature. They were amazed. But they brought that down, and it was an inner ear infection she had that temperature spiked to cause the seizure. So that was before the wool, you know, it just spiked the temperature anyway, just spiked real quick. And that caused that seizure. And I just made it work with the wool around her. So, but God raised her. Yeah, he did. So. Praise the Lord. So I can't wait to see what God's going to do with all of us, you know, when we have that. We have the chance now, actually. I think about it so often. I think about how he said, you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So I've done that so many times, but I have never seen the recoveries. I'm like, I thought, well, maybe it's my faith. I don't know. I'm believing when I do it. And sometimes there's a little bit of something and a change. It always gets back to where it's, well, it's back again for the person, you know, that kind of thing. So anyway, but I'm really looking forward to these big miracles that
Amen.
That's going to be through all of us. And that's, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Another one I had that was I was pregnant with.
Hang on. Let's let Nick tell one right quick.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah, he's got his hand. Oh, it's okay. Yeah, Nick, go praise ahead, bro. Lord. All right, let's hear it.
You know that friend of mine that we were praying for my church?
Yeah.
He sat up today in the hospital bed and was talking and everything is just happy as can be.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Okay. Well, we're all out of time. I enjoyed all the testimonies. I had a couple of them, but y'all probably heard most of mine. All right. Lord, we thank you for keeping everybody on their toes with Jesus. That Jesus comes out of our mouth every morning when we first wake up. Thank you, Lord. Y'all be blessed, yeah?